see. I could go casual chic or dress for success.
With so many looks, picking out what to wear can be difficult. But with Walmart, picking out a fresh pair of glasses is easy.
Maybe it's an athleisure day.
That's because Walmart has top brands and styles for you to choose from. So it's easy to find the right frames for whatever you're feeling.
Here's my outfit of the day and the perfect pair of cat-eye frames to match.
New glasses to make your styles pop. Welcome to your Walmart. Valid prescription required.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor. Today's episode is presented by Flippy Disc Golf, just like the tour we're on, the West Coast tour. We're not exactly on the West Coast right now. We're in Ogden, Utah, but it's a part of our West Coast tour. So
yeah,
we're going to say we're on the West Coast for the sake of this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, before we get into today's episode, we're going to talk through a little Patreon question of the week. Portland Open just went down. Paul's start to his European tour at the Estonian Open. We'll have a little Trevor's trivia, and then we'll round it out with some power rankings. But before we get into all that, here's a quick word from our sponsors.
Today's podcast is proudly sponsored by Double G Craft Jerky. They're a huge supporter of our tour while we're out here. We love Craft Double G Jerky. Yeah, on the t-shirt there. They make delicious jerky, and not only just beef jerky anymore. They also do trail mix and dried fruit. We've been enjoying that while out on tour. Fantastic stuff. We've been giving out some jerky to people. People have been loving it. They have great flavors such as teriyaki, Sexton sweet and spicy. They've got original. They've got a garlic lovers. Ton of great flavors. Every bag sold contributes to the Double G Children's Foundation, which helps the promotion of disc golf to the youth. They also offer a 1 ounce bag that's really awesome for players pack. So you can get some, that's a great players pack. Have a snack out on the course. They do subscriptions as well. So if you want to have jerky delivered, you can do 3, 6, or 12 month options with as many bags as you'd want. So make sure to check out Double G Jerky. You can get 10% off with code Foundation at checkout. Get 10% off your order. Make sure to give it a checkout. It is the best disc golf snack out there. And thanks for sponsoring Double G as always. Also, you may see me wearing their hats quite often, especially on this tour. You can get the hats on the site as well. So remember, 10% off code Foundation.
All right. Like I said, we're on the West Coast tour right now. We've been to Portland. We did our battles in Portland. And then we did our battles in Boise. And we stopped at Kennewick, Washington in between both of those. And we stopped at Twin Falls, Idaho this morning. And yeah, now we're in Ogden, Utah. I'll be doing some battles here in Ogden tomorrow. It's been great meeting a lot of you. We've had some decent spectators. Well, the spectators were awesome. Decent amount of spectators at every battle. And it's been great. It's been a ton of fun. And we're stoked to be out here. We're going to start it off with the Patreon question of the week. This one actually came from Cade Evans. It's one of the best questions we've ever been asked. If you're not sure what the Patreon question of the week is, it comes from our Heiser Club mailbag. Our Heiser Club is what we call our Patreons. You can actually get a 30-day free trial right now. If you go to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf, and we do a Q&A show every week, every Friday, called the mailbag. And that's what this question came from, one of the best of all time, in my opinion. Mm. Cade said, if you could go back in time and change the result of one pro tour or major, what change do you think would have the biggest effect on today's game? It's basically like, if you could change anything about disc golf history on the pro tour or major scale, what would it be that would have the biggest effect? The answer I gave, I'm sticking with. I'll give you a chance to change yours. I'm sticking with, I think that it would be if you changed 2014 world results, you had Ricky Wysocki win. Because obviously Ricky won in 2016, 2017. Paul won 2012 through 2015. So Paul was a four-time there. If Ricky won 2014... it'd be interesting to see if he broke up Paul's streak after two, then Ricky won there. If Ricky could pull off 2015, Ricky could have went four in a row. And instead of it being Paul with the four-time and Ricky the two-time, it could have been Paul the two-time and Ricky the four-time.
You know, I got a new answer.
It'd be fascinating.
Actually, my new answer, and this one, I think I ultimately think somewhere in the middle of Paul's streak, like 2014, or I even said before like 2012 or 13, like what if he never got his first right there, or never, what if he never won a back to back and he never started a streak? But I think an interesting one would be, what if Paul won 2016 Worlds? What if he got six in a row, or five in a row rather? Would he have won 17? Like, how long would the streak have continued if he had gotten that extra one in a row? And would Ricky have a major at all?
That's
at
true.
That point, like, would he have? Because 2016
was Ricky's first was in Emporia. Mm-hmm. Ricky's second, 2017, was in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And Paul was right in both of them. Paul's obviously coming second at every Worlds, literally since 2012, second or first, right? For the last 10 years running,
I think so.
That's so crazy. Yeah. So if Paul would have won 2016.
Like, would we be talking about, would he have lost at this point?
Like, yeah, it'd be fascinating.
How many could he have had? He could have had 11.
Would he have won the Estonian Open?
Or 10? He'd be
had
a 10
Had he
time.
Won 2016 Worlds.
Yeah, would he not have taken 31st out
well,
there?
We'll talk about that in a second. But great Patreon question. Let us know your answers to the Patreon question of the week
in the comments
down below. I bet
there's
some
really good
below.
Answers out there that we don't even know.
Yeah, let us know. So basically how it works is you just pick a different result to any Pro Tour or major win that would have the biggest effect on disc golf today. So whatever you think that is, can be a negative effect, positive effect, or just a different effect. Like, I don't think ours are net negative
There's
or net positive.
Probably some answers that like only pros know. Like, guys be like, yeah, I was like thinking about retiring. Like, what if Klein was like, yeah, I was going to retire after my sixth title, but then like because I won, I decided to keep playing and won six more. Like, I wonder if there's any stories like
that.
Or
if there's been times where like a company's put pressure on a player, like a contract, like, you know what, why don't we see what happens this weekend and come back, and then they go out and win.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something to think about. All right, Portland Open went down. A lot of storylines from Portland Open. We'll break as many as we can down. I'm going to be straight up front with our audience. We're very close with our audience. We're clearly on the West Coast right now. You can tell we're chilling, not in our studio. We've been traveling a heck of a lot, so not much coverage has been consumed.
Speak for yourself, bro.
That's true. Trevor got to watch it on the car ride today while I was driving.
I got to watch the entire final round today. So, yeah.
So Trevor will have a lot of important context. I've been following the storylines via Twitter, Reddit, stuff like that. So if you're commenting and you're pissed off because
Hunter's been driving for like the every single day. He's either been playing disc golf or driving. So don't blame Hunter.
If you're commenting right now, how the frick did you not talk about Paige Pierce's round one, hole 16, whatever? I didn't see it. That's how I'm not talking about
it.
But
on the way to Portland.
Results. So Adam Hamm is won in a playoff over Aaron Gossage. I did get to watch that. I did get to watch probably the most important part of the round. Well, obviously it seems the most important to me, but finishing of hole 18 through the playoff, I got to see. Yeah. Corey Ellis came in third. And then on FPO, we had Kristen Tatar taking it down, Sayananda coming in second, Owen Scoggins and Juliana Korver tying in for third. Now, Kristen reestablished her dominance here. It was a pretty dominant win stroke-wise. Yeah. Which, not that there was a question mark, but she did just like take a little break.
You had a question mark, dude. You picked Paige to win.
I picked Paige to win because it wasn't necessarily a question mark of like,
yeah, large.
It was more was
mark.
Like, was Paige back?
Yeah.
Answer was no. It wasn't questioning Kristen.
She didn't drop a bomb out there or anything.
No, she came in. She was in fourth, I believe. She was right outside.
She was pretty far off the pace.
But
though.
She was.
Everybody
far off the pace.
Was pretty
Everyone
far, off the,
far
pace.
Off the pace. So Kristen reestablished her dominance there. It wasn't necessarily like a must do thing. Like if she just took a quick break, went home. Came back.
Kristen's
and
the type
back.
Of player who's like so just casually amazing right now and just making a bag that it wouldn't surprise me if she comes over to the States. Go ahead and do me a favor right now and figure out how much the U.S. dollar is worth in Estonia. Go ahead and figure
it
out.
Is she from Estonia?
Yes.
All right, give me 1 second.
I'm almost 100% positive about that. I would not be surprised.
I see the flag.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if Kristen came over here. Like what? I don't know how long her deal is.
It's a euro. They're basically equal.
Okay, never mind. In any case, even with that being said, I wouldn't be surprised if she came over here and played, dominated, and then at like age 36 just dipped and retired, and just like, cause she's gonna make a lot of money. She's gonna make a lot of money. She probably she'll probably make a million, million and a half, maybe two. Wouldn't surprise me.
Over what? How many years are you saying that she's making that?
No, I think, what is her deal right now? She's making how much a year?
$125,000.
$125K. No,
she signed a four-year, $500,000 deal.
I think her next contract,
is big.
And then after that, like, it wouldn't surprise me. She signs a big deal for a few years and then dips, like, earlier than people think.
I can see that.
I feel like she's just, like, kind of low key.
I don't know. She is very passionate. Like, the wins mean a lot to her.
They do.
And I think that.
Yeah, I don't think she doesn't care. I get that vibe from her that she might just, like, play.
I could see it.
And then age
36,
she's like, I've won everything. I've made a ton of money.
She does have a daughter, a semi young daughter.
Somebody like Kristen, you go back to Estonia or even stay in the States and, like, coach.
No, yeah.
Or something like that.
They're involved in a coaching business, I believe, over there. Yeah. Her and Silver.
Silver, that's
a now, shame. Another thing I thought was fascinating, I wrote this down, and I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty positive that the top four, because there's, well, really top three, but there's four of them in there, are from four different decades, I'm pretty sure. Sayonada's in her 20s, Kristen's in her 30s, Owen's in her 40s, and I'm pretty sure Juliana Corver's in her 50s.
Oh my gosh, is Owen not in her 50s yet?
I'm pretty sure she's in her 40s. I think she can play... I think she plays FP4.
She's getting really close. That is a fascinating stat, though. I did StatMando not tweet that? Did you come up with that?
I think I saw someone on Discord come up with
like
it.
Like, surely.
Why did I just go to her PDGA as if it would say her age?
Yeah, we need like a reliable place to find this stuff. We need famousbirthdays.com to get on it.
Owen Scoggins, age.
We found this before.
In 2022, she was at Sarah Hogan.
That's no good.
Okay, but this is probably going to tell us in here.
Okay.
I just had to scroll through every competitor at 2022 Worlds, so.
There you go.
Just give me a second here.
I believe in you. I feel like she's probably like, she might be like 48 or 49.
She was 41, so she's now 42.
Oh, she's not that old. Okay, she's just in her 40s. I thought for some reason she was a lot older than that.
No, because you know what? It was a storyline that she could now play FP40.
Okay. Wow, okay.
Good she has made a Masters.
That is a crazy little stack up there. Then.
Now, before we get into... the rest of MPO. Before we get into the rest of MPO, well, something else that might never happen again, Nate Sexton's cash streak's officially over.
Decades
he
long.
Missed the cut, missed cash. It was 15 years long, 264 events. He started it when he was 22, finished it when he was 38.
And I think I saw
it was 15 years.
I think I saw his average cash out was like $700. Which is really good in disc golf, considering, especially when you consider
he spans back to
15 years ago.
2008, I think.
And Sexton won $12,000 at USDGC, but beyond that, he hasn't been like a serial winner at the highest level.
No, but he had that good stretch where he was just like, he finished
but
in sixth place.
But right, he's
But it was in a like 2015 era where sixth place
really
wasn't
well.
Making you
Sexton,
a ton of money.
Yeah, and you know what? It's very funny that this is the course that he lost his streak in because it's near his home.
30 miles from where it began, I think someone said.
I think it was less than that. I think it was like a few miles or something. I don't know. It was close. But it's crazy because like I feel like the course favored forehand play. I think we saw that with who ended up other than Corey Ellis, not a huge forehand guy, but we see that with Gossage and Ham has had his forehand working. And also it favored really strategic golf and Sexton's good at that.
It's Sexton
so,
golf.
So I'm very, he must have just had it all.
He had a bad weekend.
He had a bad weekend and like Sexton isn't, you know, going all out on tour all the time anymore. So like that just can happen to you. Like there's just enough guys that'll lap you in the field, but crazy streak.
Will anyone come close to this ever again? 15-year long cash streak? Surely not. With how diverse the field's getting.
The problem is, too, like if you go to your local, it depends on your scene, but even in your local scenes these days, there's just so many people.
Well, I'm saying tour.
Oh, heck no.
Because he's been touring for 15, not fully touring, but he's been playing on tour for 15 years.
Heck no.
Like it's one thing if I just played C tiers for 15 years, you know what I'm saying? But to be playing tour events mixed in for 15 years and you keep that cash streak alive and like he had a few years of full touring.
No, it's true.
Like I think at this point, to be honest with you, a like full season long cash streak is starting to be something to be proud of.
Well, sure.
Like if you're fully touring.
Yeah. Because like even the best players have bad events where they'll like, take like a 50th or something.
Yeah. If you're fully touring and you cash for an entire season, that's impressive now.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
15 of them is a whole nother level.
How many guys have that streak right now for this season? Like how many of them have not miscashed this season?
We'd be able to find that, but I don't have my computer.
It's probably not.
So, but it's not going to be a long list.
Not as long as
a
list as you would think. Yeah.
I would bet. We'll have to look it up at post episode, but I'm going to bet like 15 guys.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now next storyline, moving up the leaderboard a little bit, but not all the way to the top. Aaron Gossage, unable to pull it off despite multiple chances to win realistically. I mean, his day's obviously coming. He feels to me because it's been multiple times that he's put himself into position where he could win or should win, even going back to Worlds last year, and he just can't quite pull it out. A lot of the times, I'm gonna say most of the time, it is due to his own doing. It reminds me a little bit of Eagle a few years ago.
Yeah.
Where Eagle kept gaining that position and he just couldn't close the deal. And then once he did, he kind of broke out. Only difference here is I don't think Aaron Gossage has as well rounded as a game as Eagle, being forehand dominant, backhand complementary.
His backhand's getting really good, though.
Getting really good, but I think that he's still a little bit of a course specialist. He's not a Chandler Kramer where if it's a backhand course at all, he's out of it. Aaron Gossage can hold his own.
Oh, yeah.
But he's going to lean a little bit more to that forehand side. But, I mean, what do you think? I think similar to older Eagle where his day's coming and he could pop off, you know. He could win one or two this season.
Yeah.
Or over the next few seasons.
I think he's really good. Because when I first saw Gossage play, you always see, his forehand is tremendous. He throws hyzer flip forehand so well. But I'm really impressed with his backhand. His backhand, he's throwing some really far, nice flex line backhands, especially at these courses in Portland. He was hitting gaps really well, I saw him choose backhand in places he could have chose forehand, and that to me is somebody who's confident in their backhand. He's just missing a putt. He made a lot of good putts in the final round, but his putt is still very stabby. It's not very fluid and it's nervy.
He's very nervy.
He looks nervy and I know he's been struggling with the yip. So even what he's been able to do, considering how nervy his putting is, it's very impressive where he's been finishing. Because, you know, even 30 footers to him right now look very stressful, and he's hitting a lot of that final round, that man hit every part of the chains that you could, and a lot of them caught. Because we'll talk about the finish in a second, and people will talk about his spit out. But he threw a lot of putts that were not great that caught because he's kind of all over the place with the putt. It's a stabby, very hyzery putt. But the rest of his game is there right now. You just got to put it together. And he was making a lot of putts, but I don't see it as a consistent thing for him right now.
Yeah. Now the putt. So I had to go back and rewatch this because I didn't see anything. I just jumped in on 18 and how 18 went down. From where I jumped in, Hamiz was already OB. I didn't see that. I jump in, and 18 is just finishing up, and they go back and replay kind of what happened. So they showed Aaron Gossage throwing he's about 150 feet out. No reason he shouldn't get up and down, realistically.
Oh, gosh.
He just needs to get up and down.
Completely wide.
Gets up and down. He wins. Adam Hamiz is sitting at about 60-ish feet.
Yeah, he rolled out of bounds. He threw a roller to go for eagle and then went out of bounds.
Yeah, so he had about a 60-ish footer. Aaron Gossage fluffs his upshot to, 30? I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, it was 27, 30. Yeah, I was pretty pushing 30. It was a pretty far uphill as well, elevated basket. Yeah.
Adam Hamiz steps up.
Banged it.
Basically, do or die. Realistically, he's probably also... Well, I don't know. He might be thinking Aaron Gossage probably isn't making this putt, but either way, he knows he has to make that putt if he wants a chance.
Well, it's ultimate big putt situation. You see a guy who all he had to do is get up and down, leaves himself a tester, which is already making him nervous, and now you're thinking, oh, if I make this putt, he's going to poop his pants.
And so props to Adam Hamm as he steps up and banged it. Aaron Gossage couldn't do it, missed it. They go to the playoff hole. Playoff hole, Adam Hamm ends up being the guy to tee off first. Turns his drive over a bit too much. He's safe. He's fine.
He's got trouble. He's really far down there.
Probably 200 feet in. He has to think about it more than you would want on that hole.
He's kind of a little bunch of trees.
He can get up and down. Aaron Gossage flips it up a little bit more than I think he wanted, but it still was in the middle. It was fine. Only trouble was you could tell he was very uncomfortable with the left to right wind. So he wanted to go forehand. He kept lining up the forehand. And that wind made it where he ended up like he was a solid Philo on commentary. I don't know how they portrayed it on Jomez, but during live, Philo on commentary was like, he better watch the clock because he's pushing very close to 30 seconds. He was staying over that live for a long time.
Ain't no way anybody was calling that on the playoff.
Eventually decides to go to the backhand, leaves himself short again. Now this was about 300 some feet out.
Really hard shot and a really tough green as well.
But leaves himself short again, misses the putt. Adam Hamm is put himself to probably Circle's Edge, 27-foot. I think Gossage's 40, Hammes was 30 is what they said on live coverage. I don't know if that's accurate.
And Gossage chose to not step his putt through, just a straight-up putt, missed it low.
And then...
It was left. He splashed it a little bit out, but it wasn't a good putt.
Hammes wins. He just bangs the putt again. So back-to-back, very clutch putts from Adam Hammes to take it down.
Yeah.
And first off, Portland Open, first Elite Plus event of the year. First Elite Plus event we've ever seen. One of the big things is increased purses. Adam Hammes took home $12,500 for the win.
Ooh, what did second take?
$8,000.
$4,000.
So $4,500 difference.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome.
So 150-foot upshot cost Aaron Gossage $4,500. Corey Ellis took home $5,000. It was a good payout.
There was some money to be fought for up there because Corey Ellis was in it till the last hole as well. His roller didn't make it as far up as Hammes because they both were going for eagle.
And, you know, I was like, man, this could really turn Adam Hammes' season around. And then I was like, I don't really know much about Adam Hammes' season. Let me go look at it. Sneaky good.
Really? Let's hear it.
It's kind of sleeper. So starting at Vegas, 30th. Meh. Second at Waco, which I've already forgot about. Yeah. Came in second at Waco. 19th in Open in Austin. Silver event came in 40th at Texas States. Music City Open, 11th, 40th at Champions Cup, 44th at Jonesboro, 13th at OTB, DNF, I believe, at Beaver State. It looks like. I mean, 111th. I'm assuming it's a DNF. And then 15th at Cascade, and then a win.
I'm not going to say
better
that's
than I thought.
Good. I think Adam
I
Hammes,
thought he wasn't relevant. I was thinking he just came out of irrelevancy.
Well, it's,
and
if you're Adam Hammes,
though,
like I feel like he is not a player who, like, I mean, what did I won top 10 this year? Is that what I just heard at Waco? Is his only top 10?
Top 10 won several top 15s.
I feel like he should be a player who's competing more consistently. And here's the thing. When his game is at his best, and when he's playing his best, it's typically when he's making a lot of circle two putts. He's so well-rounded. His backhand is super good, really good forehand, and his putting can just be lethal. Honestly, what I saw in that final round, and I wonder if this has been kind of the theme for him this year, he did throw some like pretty shockingly bad shots in situations that could have cost him drastically. Most notably, this is on... hole 16, I believe. It was one of the holes down the stretch. You know, he was still on the pace with the lead and had a jump. He was throwing a jump upshot from couldn't have been more than 100 feet out and just chucked it into a tree, kicked himself to 30 feet and missed it. Like, just like chucked it away. And like, he was head in his hands at this point, like thought he had lost it.
Yeah.
Because that's what forced him to have to play aggressive on 18. Because then, you know, it just looked like, I mean, was Ian on the mic?
Ian and Philo were.
I'd have to know.
Philo called it over on 18.
Okay,
someone tweeted that. I didn't see it, but apparently when Hammes went
through
OB,
his roller OB,
which in that case you can never call it over.
I just love
late in the round with Gossage 150 feet up. You can understand. And when I tuned in, to be fair, they were baffled, and multiple times I heard Philo go, I mean, you cannot miss 150. Like, if you want to do anything on this tour, you got to get up and down from 150 feet. Philo just kept saying that. I was
just
like, he's
like,
right.
Hammes' body language, like, after missing that jump up, like, up and down, and then after his roller going out of bounds, which is, like, that is, like, a little more, that's a tough shot. But, like, he was, like, on the ground, like, as if he thought he threw it away. And, like, that's awesome. I was like, oh, I know Ian is just, like, leaning into it right now.
Yeah, Ian's probably like, and that's it. And you're like, it's hole two.
Yeah,
but props to Adam Hammes. Overall, played very solid and took it down.
Yeah, well, guess what? Now his season looks great.
Yeah, he has a win. He has a win, which not a lot of other people do.
And a really nice one, $12,500. Woo.
Yeah. Now, Statmando just tweeted this minutes before we started recording. I quote tweeted it, pot stirred. Consider the pot stirred. And this just farther, to, in my opinion, reiterates my point from last week. This is a tweet from Statmando. Brody Smith has back-to-back top 15 finishes on tour for the first time in his career. 11th at the Portland Open, 15th at Cascade Challenge. Smith is now ranked 37th in the world, his best ranking of his career. First off, shout out to Brody. He has qualified for USGC and the European Open.
Because I looked this morning and I saw 44th. What are they using? Hit their world rankings?
They're probably using their world rankings, yeah.
Okay.
They probably are.
Fair enough.
This is exactly what I'm talking about, though. If we're going to say, if we're going to call silver events, elite series, elite plus events...
Mm-hmm.
All the same thing, then why do we have silver events, elite events, elite plus events? Just let the field strength determine what people care about and don't care about, and the purses. If we're calling it the tour, then just the tour. Just call it the Disc Golf Pro Tour. But if the Pro Tour is going to tell us in marketing and tell the players by purses and tell the players by we're not putting as many resources into these events, hey, these silver events don't matter as much, then us as fans shouldn't put them on the same level as an elite plus event, which the tour is telling us, hey, this is the event you should care the most about.
Yeah.
So therefore, we shouldn't be calling them all tour events. I understand he technically has back-to-back top 15 finishes on tour. Yes, but that's misleading. And that's what I tweeted. And people are saying I'm an idiot. And I'm like, you know what? That's fine. You can think what you think, but I know how I think, and I stand by it. I think that's a very misleading tweet.
That winds you up a lot. I just get winded up
that people act like it's a baffling take. Like, how could you possibly think that? No, and I think
it's misleading.
It's pretty straightforward.
I think it's misleading.
The Pro Tour is telling us we're putting less resources, less money in the purses, less coverage, weaker field at silver events.
Well, everybody can.
We're putting all our resources more into coverage, all of this, trying to get as strong a field as ever at Elite Plus event, and we're just calling it both tour events. If we're calling it both tour events, throw the silver and all that out the window. Just have it all be the tour. That's like the PGA Tour doesn't have PGA Tour, PGA Tour Plus, PGA Tour Silver. It's just the PGA Tour, and some events have a smaller purse and are weaker, and some events have great purses and are awesome.
Yeah.
But it's a PGA Tour, so that's why I don't care if you call them all PGA Tour wins, because it's all one tour. It's all one thing. There's no weird classifications.
I agree, it's misleading.
Yeah, I just don't get why people think that's such a heinous, ludicrous take.
Yeah, it's like, I would be like, I'm trying to think if there's a good analogy for, I wouldn't argue it's like the same thing as like a preseason game or a regular season game. I tried to go down, I don't know if there's really a good analogy for it because it's a pretty unique thing.
I tried going down the G League route because G League's owned by the NBA. And
nah,
I was like,
it's
do
not
you,
same though.
I quickly was like, yeah, the more I think about it, the less it makes sense. But where my thought process was like, the NBA owns the G League. So like technically those are NBA players and technically they're NBA wins.
Here would be the example. This is gonna be kind of made up, but it's obscure. It would be like if the NBA had two seasons. One season was everybody in the league, and that was an NBA championship. And then there's another season, and only half the teams were there, and the other half were filled with like college teams. And then they said both champions are just NBA champions.
Yeah, like that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. That's essentially what's happening.
Yeah.
It's just a weird one. It is weird though, because it's like. Anybody can go to the silver events.
But that's what I'm saying is that's all fine. Just stop telling us not to care as much about them and stop saying they're silver events then.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing that, then don't call it a tour event.
Yeah. I almost wonder if like the silver events just shouldn't be pro tours.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. Why are we putting less resources, less energy?
He's starting to brainwash me.
No, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, why are we saying this doesn't matter as much, and then we're still trying to call it all tour events and say it all matters the same?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you can't tell me this matters less and then say that a player's win and like Jen Allen, her first pro tour win is a silver event. So she, in my opinion, doesn't have a Pro Tour win. I know she technically does, but you're telling us this event mattered less. This is a silver event.
It's a show.
And then you're trying to say she had won a Pro Tour. The same as if she wins a playoff event or an Elite Series Plus event that you're trying to tell us matters way more. So why are you trying to tell us a bunch of different things and say, okay, but at the end of the day, it's all the same? That doesn't add up.
Better check yourself, StatMando.
2 + 2 doesn't equal 5. But it's not on StatMando, because if StatMando doesn't tweet that it's a tour event, then like they're siding with me.
What do you mean? Well, they could be. They could have.
They cherry picked that stat a little bit.
But I'm saying, I think when you're like in the stat game and you have to find interesting stats, and they do a great job of finding very interesting stats, you do sometimes have to lean into the vagueness if you're allowed it, because they're allowed the vagueness.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like that's not on StatMando.
It's not on them.
That's on the Pro Tour.
Do better, Pro Tour.
Like the Pro Tour needs like
do better.
The silver events, they either need to all just be one tour, all just tour events, or. The silver events need to not be on the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
The Euro Tour is not on the Pro Tour, and they're giving silver events out, silver points out. You can give points. You can give points to whatever you want. So they can say, hey, the Silver Series events, you can get points for the Pro Tour if you go to those, but they're not on the Pro Tour.
Here's something to be on your radar if you're in the Brody Smith fan club like us. He is now only a decimal amount of points out of the Pro Tour Championship. He's in like
That's
the 34th
awesome.
Slot now, and he's like 0.6 away.
That's fantastic.
From the line. Isn't that crazy?
Good for
One
him.
One event like that, well, two events, two Pro Tours back-to-back like that, they can really change things for you.
Now, speaking of the Euro Tour, also, before we get to the Estonian Open, the Euro Tour, this is fascinating to me. You have to pay to watch it if you want to watch live, separately than Disc Golf Network. It's not ran by the Disc Golf Network, obviously, because remember, this is a completely separate tour. The Disc Golf Network, Disc Golf Pro Tour is like, you know what? We'll throw a few points at you. Forgot I got pissed about that one this offseason, but now I'm remembering why.
Defeated.
But I saw UDisc was offering a discount. You had like a, if you use code UDisc, you could get a discount on whatever their streaming service was to watch the Euro Tour events. And I was like,
That's interesting. How much was it?
I didn't look into it. Estonian Open went down. This is Paul's start to his European tour. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. It started worse than I could ever possibly have imagined.
I think in our minds, we were like, dude, if Paul takes fifth out there, like, can you imagine how crazy that would be?
Yeah.
He took 31st.
This is the problem, is he went out there and he shot tied for 31st, T31, 19 strokes off the lead in the three-round event. This told us nothing.
Yeah, he just played really bad.
Because, like, he just went out there, like... If you're wondering, like, okay, man, are there 30 incredible... Joey Tomali, the no shot at Joey Tomali's game, he could spank me. But he's a Jomez Pro DG and camera guy. Beat Paul by 3 at the tournament.
It's a good day for Joey Tomali.
It was a great day for Joey Tomali.
Shout out Joey T.
But, like, the Joey, he's not a tour player. So, like, that, pretty, there's your context.
Pretty confuzzling situation.
Now, we will say Mauro Vilman took it down. Shout out to him. He now can say he beat Paul by 19 strokes.
And I will say the guy who won, I think, won by 6.
Yeah, like, he won.
So that'll be something to keep an eye on. Even if Paul stinks it up on this tour, I'm going to be watching.
But
closely.
Like this event, I wanted to see Paul like play solid and see where is he? Like I wanted to be able to watch coverage and be like, okay, yeah, no, look, Paul's on. Paul's playing solid and he's still lost or he only won by 2. Like these guys are the real deal.
Yeah, he played like dude.
Paul went over there and played like an MA1 guy and came in 31st. So I'm like, okay, well, as of this week, we know nothing about European disc golf anymore.
The mystery continues.
Now on FPO, the winner, Tili Tumsalu.
Okay.
I'm really sorry if I butchered your name. Won by 1 after getting into the event through Monday qualifying, which is electric.
Super dope. Yeah.
Qualified on Monday, won on Sunday.
That's sick.
Very fascinating. So that's this week in disc golf. Let's get into a fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia. But first, Trevor, why don't you tell us a little bit about Flippy? Maybe, I don't know if these tour shirts are available yet, but they will be on Flippy Disc Golf's website here pretty soon.
So Flippy Disc Golf has been a massive supporter of our tour there. The main reason that we're out here right now. Right now I'm wearing the nice shirt. This is a t-shirt that is actually through the Swanky line on their site. But, they have awesome disc golf apparel. If you've never checked out Flippy Disc Golf Apparel before,
or if you have before.
Yeah, or if you even have before and you haven't in a while, they have this new Soul Pro technology that is their new dry fit material that we absolutely love. It's such good dry fit. We've already been out here on tour wearing the Flippy apparel now for quite a few matches.
Let me show you how it works. I was just showing him the Soul Pro to no Soul Pro.
Oh, I was like, what is happening?
I don't know
right
if the exposure is catching my farmer's tan, but the Soul Pro's working.
Super cool. We've been very comfortable out here. It's been awesome. They have a ton of cool designs, polos, non-polo dry fits. They've also got some windbreakers, some t-shirts. We've also have our own collection now with Flippy Disc Golf. So we're going to have this all linked in the description, but you can go on and check out designs that we worked with Flippy to kind of like approve and put on our collection, stuff that we wanted to wear. Some of them are West Coast inspired. We've got like a seagull pattern,
a bear camo,
which is really cool.
And then the basket weave.
I don't know.
I think it's called a classic polo,
The polo with like the basket weave pattern is awesome. So make sure you check
also
out
some windbreakers.
Yeah, the windbreakers are sick too. Make sure you check out Flippy Disc Golf. We'll have that link in the description. All the apparel is amazing, perfect for disc golf, and they are a huge supporter of this tour. So thanks again to Flippy for that. And all right.
Trevor's trivia.
I actually found a really obscure thing today. We're going to do a...
tour event or not.
That would be funny. I've thought about doing something like that before. We're doing the Simon Lazat quiz.
Oh, boy. What? Oh, boy.
Because I figured everybody loves Simon.
Like, yeah.
And I know Simon is a Grip Lock listener as well. So I think it'd be funny if Simon could ace his own quiz. Also, you want to know something I learned on Jomez today?
What'd you learn on Jomez today?
You know how when you're like watching YouTube on your phone, you just see the top, very top comment peeking out from the comments. They always make, I don't know if they always do this. They did it on this video, so I'm assuming it's a thing. They make the top comment spoiler shield, and they like it, so make it the top comment.
That's funny.
They are invested. Anyway, Simon Lazat quiz. Simon, if you're listening today, play along, see if you know your own quiz. There's 10 questions. Let's see how many you can get right. These are not going to be easy.
Okay.
Simon Lazat's largest U.S. MPO win margin of his career was at the 2019 Newton Heck. That was it. This is the Newton Heck. How many strokes over second place did Simon win on? It's multiple choice. Was it 3? Well, I mean, you should get a hint knowing this is the largest win of his career. 3, 8, 11, or 15?
11.
See, I usually like that guess, but I bet it's 15. I was 11.
Oh, you don't know this. You didn't make this quiz.
No.
Oh, we're taking this together.
Kind of. We can.
I thought you wrote these questions.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I did not.
There's just a Simon quiz out there.
How many? Yeah, people love him. How many five? You think I just wrote a Simon Lazat?
Yes,
quiz?
I thought you did.
How many five plus round tournaments has Simon Lazat won, including final nine?
Five plus round?
As a round, if so. 3, 8, 13, or 19? Oh, Stat Mando did this.
3, surely.
19.
How has he played so many five plus round tournaments?
Stat Mando, you guys are dirty dogs. You're 1 for 2. Simon Lazat's best C1X. Also, shout out Stat Mando for doing the Sporacle quizzes. You guys rock. But stop messing around with the Pro Tour thing. Actually, no, that's not your fault. It's on the
Pro
Tour.
Not his fault.
Simon Lazat's best C1X putting percentage in a season was 87%. Which year was this? 2017, 18, 19, or 2021? This is a good one.
Oh,
there could be some educated guesses here. I think I have my guess.
Whoa. I'm thinking 2021's definitely a possibility.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like it could be like, well, no, 2021, no.
I like
no, 2022. 2022 is when he won all.
Yeah, I like 2018.
I like 2018.
2021?
Frick me.
In how many events has Simon Lazat cashed $1,000 or higher? 36, 43, 59, or 65?
Let's just go with like C, whatever that 59? One was.
59?
Yeah.
No, it was D, 65.
Okay. Dang it.
True or false, Simon Lazat shot in a 1,110 rated round at the 2019 Memorial. This is the highest disc golf Pro Tour round rating of all time.
Disc golf Pro Tour?
Yeah.
At what year?
2019. True or false?
2019 Memorial?
Mm-hmm. I think he won that.
You're saying he was at a Pro Tour?
Oh, for show.
They alternated with Las Vegas, remember? And at national tours.
It started 2016.
It in the NT.
I think it... Ooh.
I'm going to say false.
That was true.
Dang! It alternated with NTs back in the day.
What is Simon Lazat's longest cash streak in Elite Series and major events? 31, 39, 49, or 57?
Way longer than I thought. 39.
31.
Okay, well, I should have guessed that.
Dang, dude. What year did Simon Lazat have 15 MPO wins, the most of his career in 1 year? 2010, 2013, 2015, or 2017?
Not 2015. Paul won everything.
Good point.
2013.
I bet it's either that or 2010. 2013!
Yes!
Got two. At what event was Simon Lazat's best cash per throw? $28.33 per throw. 2015 Ledgestone, 2017 Glassblown, 2018 Memorial, or 2020 Preserve. That's got to be Ledgestone.
That
Ledgestone was a bag.
None of these are ones he won. Did he win Preserve in 2020?
I'm pretty sure he won Ledgestone in 2015.
I think he did, but I'm saying like what? All of these are
he didn't win Preserve.
All of these are more than his wins last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe
well,
not.
No, but you got to think cash per throw. So it could be a tournament like 2018 like, Memorial where he's not throwing much. 2018 Memorial.
It was the obvious one.
It was the obvious one. I was like trying to go sneaky like, oh, well,
if he
threw only like 40 shots around.
In 2019, Simon Lazat made the most C2 putts of his career. How many did he make?
In what year?
2019.
116.
Okay.
Is that one of the options?
That's wrong.
Dang it. I looked over your shoulder.
Oh, I was like, true or false, Simon Lazat has the fifth most DGPT podiums in MPO. Elite standard events. So there you go. They clarified. They didn't mislead you.
First off, thank you. And I'm gonna say true.
True. You got 3 out of 10.
30%.
Average
baby.
Score is 33%. So that's
so I'm about average.
You're about average. Simon's not knowledge.
I'm about an average.
Let
Simon
us know if
fan.
You did any
Simon,
better than that.
You comment down below and you let us know.
Let us
what
know if you did
got.
Better than that. I bet you didn't.
I hope you did.
Because that is that's hard.
I wouldn't know that about myself.
Yeah.
If you asked me my cash per throw.
I mean, well, you'd
like
be able to have
10 cent.
More educated. Yeah, I want to know what our best cash per throw is. That's hilarious. I'm going to calculate that.
I'm going to find that. All right, let's wrap it up with our I can't see how long it's been anymore because my laptop
no, dude, I got
went
you.
Away. Just a wiggle the mouse. You might have to click. Oh, you're going to I'm at the touch face.
That's terrifying.
Give me a second here, peeps.
Yeah, while he's doing that, let me tell you
why
about
don't you read him the grip locked standing or the power
yeah, the
rankings.
Power rankings as they stand. MPO, we have Calvin Heimberg, Gannon Burr, Eagle McMahon, Isaac Robinson, Simon Lazat, Kyle Klein, James Proctor, Nicholas Antola, I should say, Anthony Abrella, Ricky Wysocki. And then FPO, we have Kristen Tatar, Owen Scoggins, can tell you that's not going to change, Paige Pierce, Holland Hanley, Cat Merch.
Yeah. Okay. MPO-wise, Calvin Heimberg played okay this weekend.
He played okay. I can tell you who did play well this weekend. That's Isaac Robinson.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Where do we want to put Isaac Robinson?
Spooky
so,
season.
Calvin Heimberg, he came in 7th. Who else is ahead of him? Gannon Burr,
he
came
he
in 9th.
After starting out in like 7th.
Eagle McMahon injured himself again.
Ooh, yeah. We got to
talk
about that.
We didn't
talk
about that. What are we doing?
Oh my gosh, dude. Eagle McMahon re-injured his shoulder and DNF'd.
He's claiming he's going to be back in a few weeks.
Okay, we talked about this a lot whenever he first got hurt. I'm really scared that Eagle McMahon needs surgery and is not getting surgery. I'm worried about that.
My hot take is, I don't even think it's that hot of a take, Eagle McMahon will never be the same. He's done.
Don't say that.
I think he can win. I think he could win a tournament or two.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever be.
But we're never going to see 100% Eagle ever again, in my opinion. Gosh. Now, I'm not saying that a surgery couldn't get him there. I'm saying we're never going to see it. I think if a surgery could get him there, I don't think he's going to do
it. I'm sad.
I'm very sad, yeah. Eagle McMahon.
I don't like this wounded field, man.
Who is it? Greg Oden? What happened to Greg Oden?
Yeah, he never really became anything. He had a knee injury.
It was an injury, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Eagle McMahon could be the Greg Oden of our sport, where he
was
just
Oden
like...
Greg Oden never... he was in college, he was a big deal, but he never rose to prominence at the pro level. It would be like...
But like that's what I'm saying.
Rudy
like,
Gay. Another Portland Trailblazers draft pick.
Derrick Rose. Looks like he could be dominant. MVP has a good season.
Yeah, Derrick
or two.
Rose is better because
MVP's
he
perfect.
Really came back.
Derrick Rose is perfect. I think Eagle McMahon's disc golf's Derrick Rose. Of like,
gosh,
he's
going to
retire
that's
and
perfect.
You're always going to wonder what could have been.
Gosh.
Yeah. Like, Derrick Rose could have been.
He was
one
league
of the
MVP.
Yeah, he could have been the greatest player of our generation, realistically.
Yeah, he was explosive.
He had explosive. he was explosive talent.
Yeah, he did.
And.
Let's
I think
start
that
talking
Eagle
about
McMahon. yeah, I think Eagle McMahon. It's right. A shame. I'm very upset by it because Eagle's one of my favorite players. It's really
go
sucks.
Go ahead and say you're enraged.
Really, I'm enraged. It really sucks for Discmania too.
Oh gosh, dude. Yeah, that's a bummer.
They lost Simon, and now Eagle's down for the count. Kyle Klein, it's all on you.
Let's go, Kyle.
Okay, let's see. So, what are we going to do with Isaac Robinson first? He's got to be moved up, I think. He's just playing too consistent.
Yeah.
He's 4th in the world right now. Do we just switch him and Eagle?
We'll start there. Yeah, for sure.
Because I don't think he jumps Gannon or Calvin.
He's nipping at Gannon's heels right now.
He has won a major this season.
That's what I'm saying. I would not be...
Is Isaac Robinson the second best player in the world, and we're just sleeping on him?
Isaac Robinson right now is dirty. He's dirty, man. He's so accurate.
What did Gannon do?
So
what did
putts.
Gannon do at OTB? Because Isaac almost messed around and run that thing, didn't he?
Isaac be doing that all the time now.
Gannon Burr did come in 21st at a silver event.
That's trash.
I don't really know how much to factor. Gannon Burr came in 2nd at OTB.
Yes.
Isaac
right.
Robinson
oh,
came
that's
in 3rd.
Right.
Isaac
right.
came in 3rd. So they were Cuties. Neck and neck. Calvin Heimberg came in 6th. Is Calvin the number one player in the world
Calvin
still?
Calvin is starting to slip. Which is like, I mean, it's hilarious because he's not like he's like doing anything true.
Right, I think I'm okay with Calvin, Gannon, Isaac right now. I think I'm okay with that 1-2-3
okay,
punch.
We'll keep it there.
Eagle 4, Simon 5 right now is where we're at.
Simon took a pretty decent finish. He was mm-hmm. right. I think he did. I think he was like not far behind Brody at one point. You're at
OTB still. Okay, yeah. I was going to say what?
I think he wasn't super far behind Brody.
I don't think he did great, though. 17th.
Yeah, it's not awful. Considering, like, well, I mean, Ricky had a better finish.
Kyle Klein is next. Ricky's in 10th right now in the world.
Yeah, he could jump a little bit.
Ricky did win a silver.
Also, look, but now Ezra just had another good finish.
Ezra scares me.
Well, he had a bad, like, remember he was in there?
We bumped Ezra out.
But now I'm just saying he had a big, good finish now. So, like, what is that going to do?
Mm. That's on us.
I'm scared. This is really hard now. He's power.
Ricky Wysocki, I think, is a better player than Anthony Barella.
What did AB do at this event?
11th. Ricky came in 9th. Where'd Nicholas Antelou? Is Nicholas back in Europe?
He might be.
He might have already started his European swing.
Gosh,
he did not. He finished in 78th.
Right,
so we made room in the top 10. Nicholas Antelou outside top 10. You can't finish. You can't finish in 78th and hold on to your 8th place spot. It's not like we're bumping him from first.
That is true. It's tough scenes for Nicholas.
Okay, so 10th, we put Ezra Aderholt back. I just did. Ricky Wysocki's in 9th right now. Do we want to move him?
Did we
close?
Bump out the proctologist?
No, he's in 7th.
Okay.
So after Simon, if we're fine leaving Simon in 5, we have Kyle Klein 6.
What did Klein do at this one?
I feel like Kyle should have done pretty good at this one. Is he not there?
Maybe not.
Okay, I'm going to start back over at the top. Please tell me he wasn't there. Kyle? If he was there, it's not going to be good for him.
No, it's sorted by alphabetic order.
He DNF'd. He round one DNF'd.
Oh, gosh. Kyle hurt.
Possible.
Well, yeah, 999.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that he could have got food poisoning. It could have been anything.
But don't worry, I'm on the job.
You get on that. So Kyle Klein, non-factor for the power rankings. James Proctor, we have in 7th right now. And he came in 5th.
Yeah, he did.
He's
well.
Having himself a season.
He did well.
Good for him. AB, we just said, came in 11th. Ricky, we bumped up to 9th.
I'm guessing it has to do with his back, because he said his back was feeling better. Like he skipped Milo for that.
So Kyle Klein injured. Eagle McMahon injured.
It's low. He's having lower back issues. Team Discmania?
Discmania injured right now.
Oh, my gosh. They're in trouble right
now. That's not good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we have James Proctor in 7th.
Can we have a hospital power rankings?
Sure. Eagle 1, Kyle Klein 2 right now.
Yeah.
Ricky Wysocki, 10 to 3rd place.
No, he's healthy right now. He's playing good golf.
Yeah, but Ghost 3rd.
Ghost 3rd, yeah. He'll be back.
Do we leave Ricky in 9? AB was 2 spots behind him. Proctor beat him.
He's been really good this year. He just isn't really messing up a lot.
I think we're good here. I'm happy with this list.
Okay. Well, let's look at it. Let's make sure I'm missing anybody.
Okay, let's look at the
standings.
Aaron Gossage.
Do we need to start factoring in the Goose Man?
Let's look at the Goose.
Alden's kind of turning it on.
So elite series-wise, he got 3rd at OTB, 23rd at Jonesboro, 57th at Champions Cup, 17th at Music City.
He hasn't been making any fireworks or anything. Okay.
He might be able to beat Ezra out for 10th, but
I don't know.
Is there anyone else that we're overlooking? Corey Ellis. I feel like I haven't heard that name much this year. I could be wrong.
Click on Corey Ellis really quick. I feel like he's been a little quiet, but some not great stuff in there.
Okay. All right, I think Alden Harris, you want me to just look at him real quick?
Yeah, he had a not good start to the season, I don't think. But
he's been doing okay recently. Yeah. Alden Harris is one to keep our eyes on.
All right,
I don't think he's there yet.
Eyes are on Alden.
Eyes are on Alden.
All eyes
so
on Alden.
Calvin 1, Gannon 2, Isaac 3, Eagle 4, Simon 5, Kyle Klein 6, James Proctor 7, AB 8, Ricky Wysocki 9, Ezra Aderholt 10.
Let us know in the comments where we're messing up.
FPO
1-2 definitely aren't changing.
1-2 aren't changing. 3's not changing.
Probably not. Probably.
Holland Cat is the questions.
Yeah. Let's answer some questions.
Cat merch, that is. Cyananda could sneak in there.
Yeah, we need to start looking at Cyananda.
I think Holland Hanley might need to get bumped. 21st place.
Oh, gosh.
Cyananda has, 10th at OTB. She hasn't played many. Open at Austin, she's 20. So back to since Open at Austin, she hasn't finished outside the top 10 at a full pro tour.
Let's sneak her in there. Sayananda.
I think we go Kat Merch up to fourth. I'll look at what Kat did. And I think we.
Oh, my.
Oops. All right. And then Sai.
And a great name, too. Sayananda.
All right. Let's just look at what Kat Merch did out there.
I feel like she did bad.
13th.
Okay.
Okay, but let's look at the names above her. Jessica Weiss.
Click on Missy. Let's make sure we're not missing out on Missy here. Because she's been around for a little bit now.
Back to 5th place, 10th place, 17th. But Kat Merch has a win.
She does.
At all right, well, Jonesboro, yeah.
Respect,
I believe.
Respect the win.
So I think we got to respect the win.
Respect
all it. All right. Kristen 1, Own 2, Paige 3, Kat 4, Kat Merch, that is, sign on to 5. That's our top 5. That's the power rankings. That's the episode. And if you're wondering, in case it wasn't obvious, yes, we recorded this in a hotel bed. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, next week.
Let's see. I could go casual chic or dress for success.
With so many looks, picking out what to wear can be difficult. But with Walmart, picking out a fresh pair of glasses is easy.
Maybe it's an athleisure day.
That's because Walmart has top brands and styles for you to choose from. So it's easy to find the right frames for whatever you're feeling.
Here's my outfit of the day and the perfect pair of cat eye frames to match.
New glasses to make your styles pop. Welcome to your Walmart. Valid prescription required.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun, trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.